Well, thanks very much, Kelly. Let's give Kelly a hand and some encouragement. Well done. In your Bibles, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to conclude this series that we've been in called Anything But Average. So, Matthew chapter 7. And let's read from verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray. Father, your word is holy. Your word is righteous because you are holy and righteous. Your word is true because you are true. And this morning, I pray that we would have a revelation of your holiness, your righteousness, your truth and your love, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, and if you're visiting with us, every year I go on an annual retreat with a bunch of pastors. We go to Fraser Island. It is a spiritual retreat, even though we do spend a bit of time fishing, and we also play cards at night. So there you go. And one night when we were playing cards, one of the guys, whose name is Ross Wardle, who himself is a real card, said, I've got a trick for you, and I should have refused just there and then, but he said, no, I've got this awesome trick for you. And I said, okay, well, what is it? He said, well, what you need to do is you need to just pick a card, any card. So he fans out the cards, and I pick out a card, and he says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to hold that card face out on your forehead like this. And I thought, oh no, I shouldn't have done this. Because I've never seen a card trick like this before. So here I am, sitting around the table, holding a card out like this, thinking, what's next? What's next? Anyway, what he does then is he shuffles through the cards. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. I won't do it because I'm not very good at shuffling. And he pulls out a card and he says to me, hold out the card that you've held against your forehead. Hold it out a little bit. And I did. And he said, does the back of the card look like that? And I said, yes. And meanwhile, everyone else around the table is rolling around on the floor in laughter. So you can file away that and you can use it sometime. But I felt like a real idiot. And I was well and truly deceived. Well and truly deceived or taken in. Or sucked in. This morning, when we conclude the series on anything but average, the big idea is that Jesus offers before us two pathways. One is narrow, it's difficult, it's the road less trodden. One is wide, it's easy, and it's the road that's frequently used and frequently journeyed on. And this morning, we find ourselves wanting to reflect on two areas of deception. Two areas of deception. If we're going to be anything but average, we need to guard against deception. Now, the card game was no biggie. I'm an idiot. They knew I was an idiot. I was willing to admit that I was an idiot. But there's two areas in our life that are very crucial when it comes to this area of deception. And the first is this, and we find it in that first bunch of verses. People are deceived when they think that by saying or doing the right thing, they are okay. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father." And that expression, "Lord, Lord," is an emphatic expression. It's almost as if on that day, the people will say, "Lord, Lord," in utter surprise and even perhaps shock. "Lord, Lord." We're surprised. And they will say, and the interesting thing in this set of verses is this, they will say, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus will not dispute the reality that that actually happened. How is it that someone who says, "Lord, Lord," and to whom Jesus says, "Go away from me, I never knew you," and the strength of that is this, Jesus is not saying, "Who are you? Hello, my name is Jesus. I've never met you before." What Jesus is saying is this, "You never belonged in my life, and I never belonged in your life." And the people to whom Jesus is saying these things are the people who prophesied in his name, who said the right things. And you might wonder, how can Jesus say that to someone who actually prophesied in his name? And the truth is this, that there's many things that have been said beautifully and eloquently in the name of Jesus by people whose motivation was not to follow Jesus at all. In fact, you can read the book of Numbers, and from about chapter 22 onwards, for about three chapters, there's a story of a man named Balaam, and he was a gun for hire. He was a Syrian soothsayer, try saying that really quickly a number of times, and he was the one who actually prophesied for three chapters. Now, when you read those three chapters of prophecy, there's some of the most beautiful and eloquent prophecies by a man who was actually a gun for hire, who had no motivation to be a follower of Yahweh. And Jesus will say to these people, "Go away. I never knew you." And what about people who do miracles in his name? Jesus will say, "Go away." How can you traffic in miracles if you're not someone who's genuinely following Jesus? And the reality is this, that a miracle points to the power of God and not the power of man. And God can use anyone to bring about his purposes. So think about Judas, who was sent out with the other 11, who was a betrayer at heart and who cast out demons and who healed the sick. And Jesus will say, "Go away from me, I never knew you." Last night, when I was thinking about this, my heart started to ache with the possibility that in church today, there might be some people who say and do the right things and who have been deceived into thinking that they're okay. So this is not a message of judgment or condemnation. This is a message of a pastor who yearns that everyone that he knows and pastors will know that Jesus truly is the Lord of their life. That's the first deception, that you can say and do the right thing. And by the way, this encapsulates about 75% of the population of our country who would say, "Lord, Lord," who believe in God or a God. And Jesus might say to them on the day of judgment, "It's not for me to judge," but he might say, "Go away from me because I never knew you. I never knew you." The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the Lord must turn away from wickedness. The second deception is people are deceived when they hear the word of God, but they don't obey. And now we come to this wonderful story of the two builders, the parable. Now, I've been singing that Sunday school song all week. You know the one, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember the actions? Katie, would you like to come out and show us the actions? No, okay. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Anyway, I'm not going to sing it for you. But the nub of this parable is this, that hearing the word of God and doing the word of God makes for a strong foundation in your life and in mine. That's what it means. Hearing the word of God and doing it. So the deception is this, that people are deceived when they hear the word of God but they don't obey. Where they have a faith without practice, where they have love without obedience. So if you want to build your life on a strong foundation, then you and I need to explore this parable a little bit. Now, I love this picture. It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa, if you didn't know. It's not the Eiffel Tower, it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And at one stage, would you believe that the top of the tower was approximately 5 to 6 metres further south than the base? So really, from the word that they started, from the word go, when they started building this tower, which was actually over many, many years, it started to lean. Now, the problem with it was not the quality of the marble, the problem was not the building products, the problem was actually the foundation. And can you believe that in a building that size, with that weight, the foundation only went down approximately 10 feet? So from the get-go, it was in trouble. In recent years, what they did is they actually excavated under the near side here. They pulled out about 120, 140 cubic metres of soil in an attempt to bring the tower back into the base of the ground. The only thing that they achieved was bringing the tower back about that much. So, and the reality is this, they don't want to straighten it because it wouldn't be a tourist attraction anymore. So all they wanted to do was they wanted to bring it back to a point where it was safe for people to visit and to climb the tower. Now, I want to say to you, and this is true, isn't it, Aaron, that if this was your builder, you would sack him. When I was building, I'm a bricklayer by trade, we were allowed, in the height of a wall, about 2.4 metres, we were allowed a tolerance of about 5 mil out of plumb. And in domestic, that's not bad actually, in domestic building, that's pretty good, and you'd probably, no one would put their level on. I mean, no one, when you buy a house, you don't go and put your level on the wall, do you? And think, oh, this is, but in commercial building, when you've got a site inspector, he will hound you and make sure that your walls are plumb. So the whole point of the story is this. If you and I are going to have a solid foundation to our life and our faith, and every one of us is building something. We're building a life, we're building a marriage, we're building a family, we're building a legacy. And if you and I are going to have a solid foundation, if we're going to have stability, then the foundation is this. We must not just be hearers of the word only, but we must also be doers. So let's explore this a little bit. The similarities between the two builders. One, they had the same vision. Both of them wanted to build a house, and not just any house. They wanted to build a good house. They wanted to build a solid house. They both had the same vision when they started. It's a good point to remember, isn't it, that good intentions do not build a solid foundation in life. I've never heard a newly married couple at their wedding I hope we end up hating each other and I hope we get a divorce. I've never had that feeling, or I've never heard that. So a newly married couple at the outset of their marriage have good intentions. I read recently about a pastor, yet another pastor who has been charged with child sex offences, and I bet that when he graduated from wherever he graduated and set out in ministry, he never had that as his intention or his vision for ministry. Both of these men had the same vision, and that was to build something solid and good. Secondly, I want you to notice that both of them listened to the words of Jesus. We sometimes misunderstand this parable and we think that one of them has heard the words of Jesus and the other has heard the words of culture. In other words, one is a Christ follower and one is a pagan, but I want you to hear that both of them heard the words of Jesus. They both did. And we would say that they were both teachable. They had teachable spirits. They were both learners. And the third thing I want you to hear is that the two men lived in the same neighbourhood. And you might think, hang on, it doesn't say that in my Bible. But I want you to notice what it says about the storm. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And then verse 27, word for word. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. In other words, it was the same storm. We cannot say that, you know, one experienced a huge storm and another experienced a mild storm. They both experienced the same storm. They were both in the same neighbourhood. And I want you to hear this, that building a solid foundation in your life means hearing the word of God and obeying it. And I want you to hear that the storms are coming. And some of you are experiencing storms this morning. It might be the storm in your business. It might be the storm in your marriage, in your family. Some of you are experiencing internal storms this morning. Grief and stress, anxiety. It's not whether you will have a storm, and it's not the ferocity of the storm or the power of the storm. It's how good your foundation is. So let's look at the differences between the two. Character. One was wise and the other one was a moron. Now, I've got to be fair to Scripture, because in the Greek, the word that is translated fool is the word moron. Now, in psychological speak, many years ago, people were called morons when they had intellectual disabilities, or they had an IQ somewhere between 50 and 70. And fortunately, that word was dropped from the psychological language, and we don't call people morons who have an intellectual disability anymore. What Jesus means by the word moron is someone who is fundamentally stupid. I love the story of a novice bank robber who, in the process of robbing his first bank, was caught and ended up in court. And through the court process, much of the really vital evidence went missing, like the security tape in the bank foyer. Many hours of frustration, and a hung jury later, the man was declared to be not guilty. And as the foreman of the jury read out the non-guilty sentence, the moron stood up and said, "Does that mean I can keep the money?" That's what Jesus means. When Jesus says this man was a fool, he said this man was fundamentally stupid. Fundamentally stupid. And it didn't mean that he didn't have knowledge or he didn't have information. What it means is this, that the knowledge and the information that he did have, he didn't apply. He knew enough, but he just didn't apply it. Can I say this? I've known many, many Christians over the years who have a lot of knowledge. And it seems to me in the Christian church we have this quest for knowledge and understanding and information, and we just soak it up like a sponge. And yet so often we don't apply it. We don't use it. We don't live it out. We don't allow the Word of God to work in and work out of us. And the essence of this parable is, if you're going to have stability in your life, it's not about the strength of the storm, it's about the depth of your foundation. And it comes to hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. I know many Christians whose marriages are in trouble. They can tell you about forgiveness, but they can't extend it. They can teach you about grace, but there's no grace in their family. Do you hear my heart? Secondly, they had different foundations. One built in the sand and one built on the rock. Now, I need to explain this a little bit to you, because 99% of us have our houses built on sand. So if you go home today, what I don't want you to do is excavate around your foundations and see that there's actually sand compacted against your foundation and say to yourself, woe is me, I'm a moron. I don't want you to do that, okay? But what I want you to hear is this, that the sand that you've built on is natural lying sand which has been compacted over time. In reality, sand actually makes probably one of the best foundations of all, naturally compacted sand. We've had some significant earthquakes recently, and the reason that you and I haven't suffered substantial damage to our houses is that our foundations are on sand. So, having said that, the sand that this parable is speaking about is this picture, that there is a man who's looking at a riverbed, a creek bed that's dried up, that has recently flooded, the water has receded and it's left sand. And he's going to build his house in the base of a riverbed. On the other hand, the wise man has stepped out of the riverbed and he's gone up the slope a little bit and he's found a rock shelf and he's going to build his house on the rock shelf. Do you understand that picture now? So it's not naturally compacted sand, it's sand that's deposited from recent floods. That's the picture. And that's why Jesus calls this man a moron. He should know better. He should know that this ravine floods frequently and that the sand that he's building on is really loose and silty and it's not a good foundation. Why does he build on the sand? Because it's easy. The road to success, there are no shortcuts. He builds on the sand because it's easy. And it's the pathway of least resistance. And isn't it true that if you're building a life, if you're building a family, if you're building a marriage, if you're building a ministry, whatever endeavor you are involved in, that you need to graft it and you need to craft it, and by golly, it's difficult. It's difficult. Isn't that true? Nothing worth building in this life is easy to build. Nothing. Here again, the nub of this parable, that if you and I are going to have a stable foundation in our life, in our marriage, in our business, whatever endeavor, we must both hear the word of God and do it. And that is difficult. It's hard. I spent 2 years working on high-rise buildings in inner city Brisbane, and either on the site that I was working or a site next door, there were two or three excavators with a huge pin at the end of the boom going, you know, chiseling into the rock day and sometimes night and sometimes for months at a time, so that building a foundation on a high-rise building might take 3 to 6 months. Building the rest of the building might only take 12 months. And I remember on those sites, and you could, in the inner city of Brisbane, you could feel it. And you'd be working on a site and the fillings would be vibrating out of your teeth. And it was hard work. And it is hard work. And thirdly, the difference, the most profound difference, are the results. One man's house stands the storm, and the other house doesn't just crack and crumble, it says it falls in. It completely caves in. So, here's the question. What kind of life are you building? What kind of life are you building? Is it that one? By the way, you can get wonderful photos of this where, with photoshopping, people are actually holding it up. Have you seen those? Really funny. Photoshop and you're holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. What sort of life are you building? Does it look like that? Or does it look like that? What's going to stand the storm? Jesus would say to us, the deception is this, that you hear the word of God, but you don't do it. You just hear it. You come, you listen, you absorb, you read, you inform yourself, but you don't do it. That's like that foolish man who builds his house in a ravine with soft, silty sand. So, what kind of life are you building? What kind of marriage are you building? What kind of relationship are you building? What kind of ministry are you building? What is your endeavor? Hear the word of God and do it. And life will be difficult, but you'll stand the storm. Let's pray together. Lord, my heart's cry this morning is that there would be none here that would stand before you on that day of judgment and hear from you, "Go away from me, I never knew you." And so I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, and I don't know hearts but you do, but if there's anyone here this morning who thinks that they're okay because they say and do the right things, that they would understand that life with you is about so much more. It's about being washed and cleansed and justified. And it's about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit day by day. And if we are here this morning thinking that we can just listen to your word and soak it in and absorb it and think that we're okay, help us to be doers of the word. Help us not to be those people that James speaks about. You know, why would you look at your face in the mirror and go away and forget what your face looks like? Why would the word of God reflect back to you what you need to know and who you need to be, and then you just walk away and forget about it? That we, in fact, would be people who are committed to allowing the word of God to work in us and through us and out of us so that it may be a blessing to us and to those around us. That we indeed would build strong lives on a deep foundation of obedience, on faith with works. And may you help us to do that daily, in Jesus' name. Amen.